Hi, I'm Pastor Joel of Heart City Church. We've been working our way through James 4, a chapter where James has told us that when we choose to be friends with the world, we not only make ourselves enemies of God, but we're committing spiritual adultery. This was precisely the problem in the first century church in Ephesus. Listen to what Jesus says to them in Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5. I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Do you notice how Jesus puts that? The church has forsaken, or as some translations put it, left your first love. Jesus doesn't say they fell out of love, nor does he say they lost their love. Jesus says they abandoned their first love, indicating Jesus sees this as desertion. And thus, we've moved from the place of beloved to that of personal enemy. Now, the good news James has been telling those who've committed spiritual adultery is that God still yearns jealously for them. And in chapter 4, verse 6, James announces, "But he gives more grace." That, my friend, is the good news, the gospel. Our God gives more grace, and grace is always undeserved. It's an undeserved gift. But while grace is a gift, this does not mean we receive it and then continue in our old ways. James goes on to write, "Therefore it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." Like a spiritual physician of the heart, James gives us the remedy: submit yourself to God. This is followed by detailed instructions. Let's look at these as doctor's orders, and they come with certain promises that bookend this passage. Now, I know submitting is not a popular word in our culture. Now, if we already don't like the word, let me frankly tell you that the Greek word James uses has a far more active sense than what we understand by submission. It's a compound term that means to arrange under. We're being called to arrange our entire life under the lordship of Jesus. This is not a popular idea in our culture. What does our culture prefer? Well, to quote Sinatra's "I Did It My Way," the modern person prefers say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. My friends, we're surrounded by folks who love to sing, "I did it my way." Jesus is saying unequivocally that we can be our own worst enemy. That also means our biggest problem is not the devil. James says when we submit our lives to God, we're already resisting the devil. Remember, Jesus faced three temptations, and the devil could do nothing to him so long as he obeyed God. The devil is a roaring lion. He can only bite when we stray, when we desert ourselves from our living God. That is why James next says we need to draw near to God, and God will draw near to us. It's likely here that James is speaking of returning to God in the sense of renewing covenant vows. See Hosea 12:6 or Malachi 3:7. What a reassurance that for every inch that we move towards God, God is moving an inch towards us. Maybe more. And James adds, "Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." So what's James referring to with these two actions? This refers to repenting of our evil actions or deeds. Remember, James started out this chapter by pointing out that our quarreling and our prayer lives reveal our hearts. And by that, James is getting at our motives and our intentions. Our hearts need to be completely committed. When our hearts have dual motives, it shows we're adulterous. We need to have purity in thought life, which is seeking first God's kingdom and not our own. And when we see our hearts are not pure as they should be, well, we need to be wretched and mourn and weep over it. The desire for a heart that is pure results in sorrow for sin. Remember, Jesus says, "Blessed are they who mourn." Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. James began and concludes with calls to humility, but here he adds before the Lord. And this is such a help to to help us in attaining humility. We so easily tend towards comparing ourselves with others, but that is of no use. That is not the standard by which we'll be judged. All that we do is before the Lord. And when we recognize that we are living all of our lives, coram Deo, before the face of a holy God, we see that it becomes much easier to humble ourselves. My friends, this is a fine remedy. When we weep over our sins and turn to God in faith, we discover that Jesus extends His grace. When we approach that throne of grace in humility and say, I did it thy way, God lifts us up to where we belong. My friend, remember who you are and who you belong to.